the place where it's all about, duty, honor, and country. Today is Tuesday, August 26, 2014. This is Sally Baptist, and I thank you for tuning in to American Freedom Watch Radio with Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. The call-in number is 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to be placed in the host queue if you'd like to speak on the air. If you don't press 1, I leave you out there and let you just listen. Today is primary day here in Florida. Now, I'm here in Orange County, and it was they were expecting a whopping 23% turnout. And it annoys me to death because the guy who's the current supervisor of elections does not let people know that everybody needs to vote in a primary. They sneak items in, referendums in, on a primary ballot because they know they can control the outcome so much more. Totally despicable. But I was out there voting. I was the first one in line, or I should say I was the only one in line when I got there, and then one other person was there while I was there. It was not pretty. Very disgusting and discouraging when people just refuse to get involved, and this is why we have the chaos we have. Well, as I say, tonight is election night. There's a lot of stuff going on, so I'm going to limit my rant to just two things. One, just totally amazing to me that you hear people on the news saying, do we think the terrorists are here in the country? Is ISIS here in the United States on the homeland? I mean, come on, people, how stupid can you be? You know the border, the southern border, we have no border security. We have no homeland security. Come on. What a stupid thing to say. I just can't believe the majority of Americans are truly that clueless. But, yeah, the terrorists are here, and I just my personal feelings, especially with everything that's been going on lately, before this guy is out of office, something else will be happening on this homeland. Then the other thing, and Karen, I really want to know what you think of this one, because, I mean, this is the ultimate example of Americans just caving in to political correctness and surrendering their homeland to the Muslims, if you want to call it that. This is up in Vermont, and you may have heard about it. This restaurant in Vermont, they had a sign out that said bacon. The word bacon was on it, bacon as in pork. Well, this offends the Muslims. They took the sign down. If that is not the most sick and pathetic, okay, America, just cave in. Just go ahead. The terrorists are here. The Muslims are taking over. They want all the Christians dead. Give up your own rights because the Muslims have arrived in the homeland. It was just despicable to me. So those are just my two pet peeves for today. I have many more, but those are the two biggies for today. So what do you think, Karen?
Well, first of all, everyone, welcome. It's Tuesday. It is primary election day, and you're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman. We share our shows and share our websites, agenda21today.com, panhandlepatriots.com, karenschoen.com, and votekarenschoen.com. Sally, I agree with you. And after listening to the talk, I never listen to Sunday morning television because they're so off from what is reality. But for some reason, I wanted to torture myself this Sunday, so I decided to listen to the talking heads on the TV. Well, lo and behold, what are they talking about? They're talking about the terrorists. Okay, they're talking about the terrorists. Every single one of them, when they were asked, said, and with the exception of Laura Ingraham, said, well, you know, they can go to Europe, and from Europe, they can get a passport, and they can come to America. Hello? Not one person, not one mentioned, discussed, talked about the fact that these people, these terrorists, showed us pictures of how they were training their children to kill the infidels, to put on a suicide vest and go into a shopping mall and blow up people at an order. Now, they also said that not only are they training them to be terrorists, but they are also teaching them how to speak Spanish, and they were sending them to Venezuela and Guatemala so that they would then turn around and come up through Mexico and enter the United States. What part of stupid are these people that they never mention that? And that is why the American people don't know. Luckily, the only one that said anything was Laura Ingraham, and I have to give her kudos to Laura, because she did say exactly what's going on. She said, these people are coming over our border. We will be so naive if we think they are not here right now. And what's coming up real soon, Sally? If anybody said 9/11, they would get the gold star, because I think that's what this plan is, to do something somewhere on 9/11. And I don't have my crystal ball, so I can't tell where, but what happened in Benghazi, and when did it happen? It happened on 9/11. 9/11 has a meaning to the Muslims, and that's the date that they use on a continual basis. And that's the date that they target. Well, I will be very surprised if nothing happens, and I pray nothing happens. But I will be very surprised if nothing happens. And it may not happen this year. It may happen next year. But one thing we've learned about dealing with...
Hello? Well, I'm not sure what just happened there.
We lose something?
You cut out, and then I'm actually getting a little bit of technical difficulties on this side. So can you still hear me? I guess you can still hear me, okay?
Yes, I can still hear you.
Okay.
Are we good?
Find out what's going on here. But you were talking about that it was going to happen. And while I'm playing around with trying to see what's happening on my computer here, the part that I think, yes, 9/11's coming up, but see, I happen to think because their message is to go after the Christians and the Jews, that it may be something they do much closer to Hanukkah or Christmas or something. I think they may want to send a message that way, that, yes, we are going to take down the Christians and, you know, the infidels and all this other stuff. So I think there may be another message that they send with the next event. But there is an event, and Laura Ingraham has really been, I have really liked listening to her, because she has been the voice of reason on these different talk shows, because she keeps saying about the border and stuff like that, and she has really gone against the lamestream media of the GOP stuff. And are you still able to hear me? Let me see what I can do to figure something out here. So if anybody is listening, was wondering why there's some dead air. Right now I can't hear anything. I'm going to try to fix this problem. So hold on.
Karen, can you hear anything yet?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
He can hear you now. There's been a small glitch here on my switchboard, but I will continue to continue talking here. No, our other guests have not arrived yet, so we haven't caused any problems for them yet. Hopefully I get this cleared up first. But anyway, I don't know if you heard what I was wrapping it up saying. I believe it'll be more to do with the Christian holiday or the Jewish holiday, because they believe all Christians and Jews and anybody who's not Islam should die, kill the infidel. So I just believe there'll be another message coming on. And I believe the stuff that's happened with the Brooklyn Bridge, which there's been, what, two or three different events on that Brooklyn Bridge right now, is out there proving,
yeah.
See, we can do this right underneath your nose. You know, because I'm suspicious of the people who have been doing that stuff. I think they're trying to tell us, hey, we're here.
I think that it's going to be multiple things simultaneously, because there's enough people here now that they could be spread out all over the place, and we would have no idea where they are and who they are, because now we find out that not only are they allowing the illegals to come over the border, but they're allowing them to fly without any documentation. Now, think about that, folks. The next time you go to the airport and you get patted down and felt up, that your counterparts who are coming to this country illegally just walk straight through. Isn't that nice? So
it is.
This is a real challenge to go and fly now. If I was flying, I would just tell them I'm illegal, leave me alone.
That's it. In fact, actually, funny that you say that, because when I went to vote today, like I said, there was nobody there. And they asked me for my absentee ballot, and I said, what? I didn't get an absentee ballot. This is the sample ballot they sent me in the mail. And I said, well, we're going to have to check. So I go through and I check in. They do my ID stuff. Then I got to go to this other station, and they literally have to pick up the phone, call the Orange County Supervisor of Elections, and go out there and see that I haven't already voted. And I'm like saying, what? Why would, okay. You know, some kind of game that they're playing this. And then the guy who came in after me, which was the only other voter I saw there, was doing the same thing. They were doing the same thing with him about an absentee ballot. And I casually made a joke to him. I said, well, they wouldn't ask you any questions if you're here illegally. And he just kind of grinned. And that's the truth. I mean, it's like the American people are the ones who are victimized. What's that?
It absolutely is, and all of this is being sponsored by the GOP and the Chamber of Commerce, because they got it about Obamacare. They realize that illegals don't have to have Obamacare. Illegals could work a 40-hour week without the employer being forced into getting Obamacare, and this is what this is all about. This is about changing workforce America from Americans who are forced into getting Obamacare into an illegal force that can be paid less money and aren't subject to the same rules and regulations. And you know what, Sally? That's happening in everything. I just, when I was out the other day and I was campaigning, I had the opportunity to talk to a wonderful gentleman who was a truck driver. And he shared with me the licenses and the permits that he had to get, in order to stay in business. And when he was showing me this, I couldn't believe what he was showing me. He had to have, I think, 6 different licenses in order to drive his trucks. Permits, wrong word. 6 different permits, 6 different inspections, 6 different everything in order for him to be able to drive his truck. And in 2015, it's going to be even worse, because now the American truck drivers have to sign up in advance as to whether or not they are going to just drive nationally or they're going to drive internationally. And that's another fee on top of the fees that they're already paying. So I asked him if the, I said, oh, let me ask you a question. I said, you stop, I'm sure at the rest stops, and you talk to the Mexican and the Canadian truck drivers when, you know, they're in town and around. Are they subject to the same licensing and same fees and permitting, and will they be subject to the same rules and regulations? Well, as soon as I finished that sentence, he started laughing, and he said, are you serious? Of course not. So now what's going to happen as our truck drivers are going to be put out of business? Right now, I read the other day that we have a deficit of almost 30,000 truck drivers. 30,000 truck drivers. Think about that, folks. How do we get the majority of our goods? We get them by truck. Well, what happens when there's no truck to deliver the food? There's no truck to deliver the medical supplies. There's no truck to deliver whatever it is that they need to have delivered. What do you think is going to happen? And then, of course, the cost of goods are going to raise astronomically because as truckers wind up paying all of these fees and licenses, they can only absorb so much. They have to pass it on to their to the people that use their trucks, and they have to turn around and pass it on to us. So what is going to happen at 2015 at when this wonderful law comes into place, when this wonderful law is valid? So this is what we're facing. This is what's going on, and this is pathetic. This is the absolute devastation of America on purpose.
It is, and when you go there, and once again, I just let you know, it looks like I've got everything back up and running here. Looks like we're back on track here. But the guests are not here yet, so I'm keeping an eye out for them. But here, this is exactly it. And there's this other couple of things that just keep kind of going through my mind. First off, I remind people time and time again, Obama is not the only one who's involved here. This is not – Obama could have never done this alone. This is stuff that started years ago with the Bush clan and the Clintons, NAFTA, this other stuff that started way back when. So Obama is only putting the final touches onto doomsday for the United States of America. And I happen to believe, because I personally believe he's a Muslim, I don't believe he's a Christian or a Jewish person, a Jew, and I do believe he leans that way for many reasons, and so he's quite happy to let them destroy this country. Of course he can't say that. That would be, I mean, I think we have enough reasons probably to charge him with treason as it is. I know we do, if anybody had the courage to do that. But I think we have to face the fact that we have a president who really doesn't care about this country, whose loyalty to the Muslim Islamist is much stronger than it ever will be to America. And so some people would get all offended that you would even say such a thing. And then, of course, what was the other thing, kind of to jump back to the business side here, what happened today? Burger King, which apparently is owned by a Brazilian company now, it actually, I guess, started in South Florida. It was a Miami company to begin with, but was bought out by some Brazilian company or something. But now they're moving their headquarters to Canada, all because of globalization. We were the economic empire, I guess you want to call it. I don't know if that's quite the right word, but superpower, that we are totally able to take care of ourselves. But we have let a bunch of political cronies who don't care about this country, communists, Muslims, whatever you want to call the socialists that are in public office today, who have totally destroyed this country, and we are so close to the brink of total collapse, and it has all been orchestrated by those from within who go and open the door, let all the terrorists in, no security. No, you know, it's just, it's so unbelievable. And I did write something earlier this week, and I'm going to probably get into a little bit more maybe on Thursday's show or Monday's show, but I put the question out there, are Americans ready to defend America when the Muslim terrorists come start fighting us? Are Americans ready to defend this country on this homeland? Because we're doomed right now. If people's attitude stays as it is today, they just come in and they take over. And, you know, it's really,
well,
what we're seeing over the Middle East is going to be here. Yeah, go ahead.
What you just described in Vermont is a perfect example. My family is Jewish. We don't eat pork either. I don't tell anybody else what they can and can't eat. If I go to a restaurant and they're serving pork, I don't order it. difference. This is not a society where I have the right to tell you, Sally, what you can eat. And if I don't want to eat what you're eating, I just don't order it. But that's not the way Muslims are. The way Muslims are is it is their way, period, finished, end of sentence, or we'll cut off your head. And that's about what we are aiming for right now by what's going on and the lack of American desire to stand up. And I honestly don't know, Sally. I don't know if we have any Americans left who will stand up for America. I'm really very concerned about that.
Yeah, I am too. I just, and not to mention the other aspects, because we've had this wide open, you know, terrorists come on in, you know, all the illegals welcome. Americans go away, all the illegals welcome. And this has been like this for years. I mean, 86 was when we tried to pretend to do anything about it. And, you know, little by little, they just kept getting more emboldened and more empowered by just coming in. So I would hate to even try to guess as to how many anti-Americans, whether they be the Muslim Brotherhood, ISA, or Chinese nationals, whoever they may be, who have just come in and set up shop and say, okay, we're stationed, just like you said. When the event happens, it's going to happen in multiple communities all over the place. And, you know, I think one of the stupidest places you're going to be is on a train or any type of mass transit kind of system. They're going to go after those because that's where the people, well, truthfully in Florida, most people don't use mass transit anyway. They're usually empty trains. So I don't know how much they'll do there. It's just another way to waste money. It's a talk about pork. Actually, the Muslims should be going after Congress because of all the pork.
Yeah.
But it's going to, it could be on Super Bowl day. It could be some where you got people gathered all over the place, or it could be like a holiday. I don't know, but it is coming. And you just see, it was a couple years back, I think it was they relocated 80,000 Muslims to, was it Carson City, Nebraska,
in Michigan,
or something? Yeah, in Michigan. You know, you got these cells of them all over the place. But there may be more Muslims here in this country than there are Americans anymore. I don't know.
No, right now the population of Muslims versus Americans is they're only 1% of the, they're less actually than 1% of the population. The problem that we're having right now, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yep.
Well, they're very vocal. And the Americans have been anesthetized because they've been told over and over and over again that they must be the silent majority, that they have to be politically correct. They have to be the ones that are, you know, they can't say anything. They have to be tolerant. We have to be diversified. And for that reason, Americans are busy sticking their heads in the sand. And as they're sticking their heads in the sand, they're allowing these ingrates to come in and steal our country because that's really what they're doing. They are stealing our birthright. They are stealing our resources. And we are that stupid that we're allowing them to do it. We are allowing them to take over. We're allowing them to become the to become the force instead of assimilating. They do not assimilate. They don't believe in assimilation. They believe in taking over and killing, period. And if you don't believe in what they believe in, they have no problem killing you. And I know that there is no such thing as a moderate Muslim because it's very clear in the Quran. It says, you must follow every word of Allah, period. So you can't go off in a corner and practice something else because you have to follow every word of Allah. And Allah believes, or Muhammad believes, that killing the infidels is on the menu. You don't believe in me, I will kill you, period. So that's what we're facing. The Americans who are first of all, anesthetized, but never really faced war Yes, we faced war. Yes, we do see pictures now. However, I've been going around and talking to the vets, to the veterans, and you know what I'm finding? Their stories are incredible, and they never told anybody. They came back, and they were told not to talk about the war, not to talk about what was going on, not to talk about the horrors and the atrocities that they saw. So all of a sudden, war took on this romanticized meaning, and it wasn't the battle and the slaughter and the death. And the Americans don't understand that. And, of course, since our educational system has been so whitewashed and disgusted and disgusting, that is going on as well. So we have simultaneously two things happening, and as a result of that, what's going on in the schools and the fact that Americans have been trained, you have to be trained to this, to be subservient, and have allowed this to happen, this is what is going on. So I think we are going to be in for a rude awakening, as they say. I mean, if you just have to listen to what Brennan said the other day, 2 years ago, oh, the Muslims, they had a dream that they'll have a caliphate. It's never going to happen. It's never going to be that way. It's never going to, never. Well, guess what? His last press release or his last statement that he made was, this is the most horrific threat that Americans will be facing.
Didn't they have to backpedal on that because I guess our commander-in-chief said don't say that?
Yes. Well, that's the other side of the coin. When you have a Muslim in the office and a Muslim who is part of the situation, part of the problem, where do you go from there? Well, folks, I believe that it's up to us. The sanity has to come from us, from our communities, from our families, from our neighborhoods, from our friends. That's where the sanity is going to come from, because it certainly is not going to come from this administration. They have proved it over and over again. And you know what, Sally, you're right. It is not Obama. The Congress is totally complacent. They are part of the problem, and for anybody that thinks that you can elect somebody who's part of the problem and then they're going to turn around and fix the problem, whoa, have I got a bridge in my town to sell you that'll go right over the Pacific Ocean. Because that's going nowhere. I mean, that is insanity amongst itself. So it's nice and wonderful to do shows like this and to tell people on a continual basis all of the things that are happening. But if we don't take charge and if we don't stop doing the things that we are doing, then and we don't pay attention, which obviously we still haven't gotten there yet, then we're in big trouble, which we are in. We are in big trouble. And the fact that our administration is not talking about it, the fact that they are part of the situation, it's not surprising that Americans no longer get involved. It's not surprising because they're trained not to get involved. They're trained not to be involved. They're trained not to. And when you train not to, you don't. So we can't be surprised that there are too many Americans that don't.
Oh, sounds like someone knocked them there. On that same note, you're right, Americans have been trained that if we say anything, if we're anything pro-American, if we say anything to defend the country or to believe in the Constitution, anything like that at all, you're called a bigot or a racist. And, I mean, it's... And, you know, we haven't said much about the Hispanic piece of this, which looks like we have our guest, Victoria, out there. So I'll go to her in just a second. But we also have the La Raza mentality who's out there, too. So the number, it goes back to the most basic of what Washington said in his farewell address. You will always have to protect yourself. You as one people, you must always be on guard. His words were just so true. But anyway, I'll wrap it up on that part, and I will let you introduce our guest.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy to have with us a great friend. We met several years ago because we were both fighting the same fight. And then we realized that working together and sharing information, which is what this has become, this is a sharing of information so that we can catch up, we can find out, we can know what's going on, we can tell the truth, and we can come together with not only issues but solutions. And Victoria has, Victoria Bear from the Bear Edge, love that name, has been absolutely instrumental in researching and bringing forward information that she does on a continual basis. And I tell everybody, when after you listen to Victoria, get on her mailing list and she'll tell you how to do that, because the information that she sends is always 100%. You can count on it. You know it's the truth, and that's really, really important. And welcome, Victoria. It is a pleasure to have you on the show tonight.
Hey, Karen, I almost said good morning, but good evening. How are you?
Well, we never know here.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, Victoria, introduce and tell everybody where they can find you, because your mailing list is incredible.
Well, yes, I consider myself a portal to get information out to people. It goes across the United States and actually over to the United Kingdom. If you want to reach me, you can email me at victorialadyliberty@reagan.com. That's victorialadyliberty@reagan.com. And I'll be glad to put you on my list. To come off, all you got to do is let me know. I do send out lots of information, and I send out lots of different information. I think, and I wasn't in on the first half of the show, but people don't realize how everything is interconnected and how it's coming across. It's not only from the medical side of what's going on in the medical establishment, as well as Obamacare, which is what I call Obamacare, to Agenda 21, to climate control, to geopopulation, to geochemical chemtrails in the air. All of this, to me, leads up to the Great Calling, is what I've been saying.
Well, Victoria has found incredible information, and the place that I would like to start right now before we even go to immigration, which is a huge topic, I would like to talk about what's going on in the medical profession, because that's a big one, folks, and I'm seeing really nasty stuff. And you sent out an article yesterday. So why don't you tell everybody what that one was about what's going on? Oh, my gosh.
Well, I sent out tons. I mean, right now we've got the CDC linked to the vaccine autism fraud, which is very concerning. They also, the CDC, if people don't know, I'm sorry, is the Center of Disease Control. I call it the Center of Death Control. It also refuses to turn over documents to Congress, evidence linking MMR vaccines to autism intentionally withheld from investigators. This is serious stuff. And the people that have known about the CDC and the FDA, and all you have to do is look at to who the people are in the FDA. It is ex-Monsanto, ex-Chemical, ex-Bayer Pharmaceutical, B-A-Y-E-R. If you don't know how evil Bayer Pharmaceutical is, and I hate saying this because my last name is Bayer, not spelled that way, but Bayer Pharmaceutical goes back to IG Farben. And if that doesn't ring a bell, it is the company that created the gas that exterminated the Jews. And if you don't know that Preston Bush, which would be Poppy Bush's, Bush Sr.'s father, he had a big shareholder stake in IG Farben. So what I'm trying to tell you is Bush Sr. help fund the pharmaceutical industry that created the gas that killed the Jews. And he was also, along with a lot of other prominent elitists or bankers, funding Hitler. If you have not heard of two books I suggest you highly get them. One is by Eustace, E-U-C-T-I-C-E, Mullins, and it's called Death by Injection. The other one is, oh my gosh, his name just flew out of my head, Ed Griffith, and it's War Without Cancer. What I find amazing is both these men, Ed Griffin, War Without Cancer, which tells you the whole scam of Sloan Kettering and the Mayo Clinic are hiding back completely natural cures for cancer. Cancer is a money-making machine for the pharmaceutical companies. You are not worth anything to the medical establishment healthy, but you're worth everything sick. I find it very, very amazing, and not coincidental, as I call it, coinky-dinky, that Ed Griffin, who wrote War Without Cancer, and Eustace Mullins, who wrote Murder by Injection, which is also about the AMA, which stands for American Medical Association, both wrote books about the Federal Reserve. Now, why would that be? Why would the Federal Reserve men, two men that researched the Federal Reserve, also wrote books about the American medical establishment? Well, let me hook it up for you. Have you heard of the Rockefellers, you know, the bankers with the Fed? Well, guess who started the AMA, the American Medical Association? Rockefeller.
Wow.
Guys, these people, it's all connected. It's one big spider web that is all connected. And, I mean, I could go on and on and on about the medical society. But, you know, a doctor who is a medical doctor who knows about the scam told me something that just blew my mind, and I'm going to share it with you. He said years ago, when, and I know this because I grew up on a farm, the FDA, which is in the agriculture department, actually used to put out charts for the farmers. If your pigs were losing weight, then they needed vitamin A, vitamin C, and the potash. If your chickens were plucking their feathers and fighting, then they needed vitamin, and I'm just making this stuff up, this isn't real, vitamin A, C, D, E, whatever it was. And so if you had problems with your livestock, they told you nutritionally how to cure it. Because let me explain something to you. A sick farm animal is worth absolutely nothing. But a healthy farm animal is worth something because that farm animal is either going to be slaughtered and sold for food or it's going to reproduce or make food. Well, when the doctor told me this, he goes, here's what's amazing. When humans are sick, they fill us with drugs, not nutrition, because humans are worth absolutely nothing healthy and worth everything sick. And that statement blew the lid off of it for me.
Sure, because then they get a chance to experiment with all of their wonderful drugs.
And well, if you don't know,
cash cow, as you have to pay for all of these things.
Right. Congress was given blanket immunity. Remember when the swine flu came out?
Yes.
Congress, I think that was 2010, Congress gave, and this blew my mind, and why it was hidden, I don't know, but Congress gave the vaccine makers complete immunity from
right.
all side effects of vaccines, including and up to death. Now, if you were a multi-billion-dollar pharmaceutical and you just got carte blanche to put whatever the hell you want in a vaccine, because guess what, people? You're not going to be sued for any side effect. You're going to get immunity, including death. Why wouldn't you go to town experimenting and seeing what you could do?
And didn't they, that I think it was in April, they uncovered there were 50 people that were in unknowingly in an experimental drug program. They signed the paper. They never even had an opportunity to see what was on the paper. And they signed the paper in, I think it was in one of the colleges, and I think 25 of them were veterans. And they, here they are experimenting on us. Folks, let's not be stupid. During World War I and World War II, the German scientists who were fleeing the Nazis because they were communists, and at that time the National Socialist Party did not get along with the Communist Party, so they were enemies. Well, where do you think they came? They came to America, and they went to Russia. And when they came to America, nothing changed. They didn't fold up their little tent and say, okay, I'm not going to do this. They continued their experiments,
And guess what? They now are, many of them, owners and part of these huge drug conglomerates. So nothing has changed in the last 60 years.
What Karen is referring to, and if y'all like to write this down, it's called Operation Paperclip. And what happened is when they took the scientists that were experimenting on the Jews during World War II, it was called the, what was it, Nuremberg Trials? I'm not saying that right, I don't think.
Nuremberg,
thank you. And they took, only a few got tried. They took the rest of the scientists and they brought them right over here because remember, it was Rockefeller and Bush and all these people funding all the companies over there helping Hitler. They brought all the scientists into our industries. They put them into our hospitals, our universities, and right into NASA. And that's called Operation Paperclip. You can Google it. You can find out all about it. And this is why we even have something as simple as fluoride, which is a poison that dumbs down and makes people docile, however you say that, in the water supply. The Nazis did that to the German people,
yes.
And we learned that from them. And guess what, people? We got water and fluoride in our water supply, and this is why we're apathetic about what is going on while Rome burns.
I asked a relative of mine who happened to be in the ghetto in Poland, and I asked them why, I said, when the Germans first put you in the ghetto, there were more of you than the German soldiers. Why did you accept that? Why did you take it? Well, the first response was because they took all of our weapons and we only had pots and pans. But after a while, the people became apathetic. And why did they become apathetic? Because they were putting things in their food and in their water. And they were putting these chemicals that we are suffering with today, doing exactly the same thing to the American people. These people are evil, evil, evil. And I can't say that enough times. And that's what I call them, because they have absolutely no regard for anyone other than themselves. They are incapable of feeling. They are sociopaths. They cannot form relationships. And they have no capacity for compassion. And to them, the sheeple are useful eaters. That was the other thing they called us. Useful eaters.
That's actually in the paperwork, that term.
Yeah, there's one thing I got to throw in here real quick, too. When we're talking with the medical profession, excuse me, my father, he passed away a couple years ago, but they said he was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I think type 2 diabetes is one of the biggest crocs that get going, too. Part of it is from the money-making.
It's caused by high fructose
because
corn
they get
syrup.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Diabetes 2 was created. Over 12 years ago, diabetes was very rare, and it was in the African-American population more than anything else.
Yes.
And now it's in our children and our seniors and everywhere. And why is that? Because the creation of the high fructose corn syrup that's replaced sugar is 10 times the sweetest sugar, and it's in everything. And that is why we're coming down with diabetes, which is what they want, because it's not something curable. It's a long time, so you have to keep taking the drug and more and more and more.
Well, and see, even to that degree, they diagnose. I don't believe that everybody has it that they say it. The first thing, and I ask people, said, well, when you think of somebody who's got type 2 diabetes, what's the first thing you think of? And almost everybody says somebody who's overweight and, just in a mess and all this other stuff. And I said, my father was never overweight. I mean, if he was 10 pounds overweight, that was it. I mean, it was almost nothing. And he didn't have type 2 diabetes. I believe they did that because it was a moneymaker to him. And like you said, it gets... And then the medicines they give you for the type 2 diabetes, what you take, destroys your kidneys, puts you into that dialysis machine, et cetera, et cetera. It's one of the biggest scams. And if you remember, it was Dr. Atkins, who kept saying type 2 diabetes could be cured by the proper diet. He kept saying it the other way around. And today, little by little, we're doing more of that. But that's just another big crime to me when it comes to the medical profession. We just kind of had to throw that out there.
Well, you're absolutely right. I can pull people off of diabetic medicine with changing their diet. I've done it for years.
I have several friends, and you're exactly right. And the several friends I was alluding to have diabetes. I truly believe it has a lot to do with the food that they were eating, because when they stopped eating the processed food, and you're right, with the high fructose and the corn syrup and all, and the sweeteners, the chemical sweeteners that people use, I cannot understand, well, I do understand why it's happening, but I don't understand why people who know this continue to do it. But then we go back to the same thing again, which is this is what they were told to do. And this is the sad part. People are being purposely misled so that they are down this path that deliberately makes them dumb and complacent. We're doing it to ourselves. We are doing all of this to ourselves at our government's insistence and mandate and request. And the only way we're going to stop doing it is to stop doing it. There isn't an easy way. There's no easy way to do anything. And it's very, very sad, because you're right, Tori, we see the results of these. We see the results of these programs, and the results are horrible. What is it, one in every now 60 children gets autism?
Actually, it's one in 10, Karen. No, you're
sorry?
One in six in the last 10 years. It's one in six, and it's even more for people in the military because of all the vaccines they take. It was 1 in 10,000 when I was born in 67.
Yeah, and then when I moved to Florida in 2000 and my girlfriend's grandson was diagnosed with autism after he was 2 years old and went to the hospital to get his vaccine, and then all of a sudden he had autism. So that was when I really started paying attention, and at that time it was 1 in 100, and now it's 1 in 6. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What are we doing to our children? What are we doing to ourselves? This is very, very bad. And yet now we're doing even worse by bringing illegals into our country that have who knows what disease, who knows what they're carrying with them, and yet we are allowing this to happen because we have been trained to be so complacent.
Did you see where last night California Governor Brown, Jerry Brown, said all Mexicans, including illegal immigrants, are welcome in California?
Yes, and I hope they all go to California. And every
time
they
can
now,
all go to California.
I think that's where they should go. I think that's where they should go is to California. I think every morning when I get up now, I get up and I say, oh, my goodness, is California still here or did it get off a cliff?
Yeah, is it off, off into the ocean and I could care less.
has it sunk yet? Is it basically what it is? Are we sinking? Yes, we are. So,
well, it's kind of funny they had an earthquake right around the same time.
Yes. So it should have been a wake-up call, but unfortunately it wasn't. It should be a wake-up call. He's disgraceful. He was disgraceful 10 years ago, and he's disgraceful now. He's a disgraceful human being who has absolutely no thoughts of anything for America, and it's very sad. We are watching the disintegration of our wonderful country, and it's hard to know what we're going to be, what is in store, because, folks, things are changing. Things will change, and Americans are not prepared, and that's a big part of the problem. Americans are not prepared. This week I've been paying a lot of attention to the weather. They actually called for snow in Montana and called for multiple other things in other parts of the country, and yet here we are spending our money on windmills that are killing birds and solar panels that are causing pilots to go blind. It is just, I guess this is the insanity before the storm.
is about all I can think of it. When you go back and you look at some of the things that happened in ancient Rome, before Rome got destroyed, they went through exactly what we're going through now, total insanity. And, you know, what was the lunatics are running the asylum, and the asylum this time happens to be America. So you were talking, when I was talking to you yesterday, you were telling me what's going on in the weather in Jacksonville.
Well, I was just saying that it's not, I'm a big beach goer, and to be in this whole summer laying out on the beach, I've not sweated. It is not hot. I mean, 92, 88, it was 84 today. That's not August weather.
No.
That's spring, April, May weather. It was very chilly. In fact, I'm usually tan by my birthday, March 3rd. I couldn't even get out to the beach till May. It was that cold this in March and April and rainy. And the water changed, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. It got very cold, the ocean. Last summer, we hardly got to like 95, 98. This summer, I'm not even seeing 95. I'm seeing 88 to 92, 94. And I'm talking my car out in the parking lot all day getting in, and it says 94. It'd be 104 is what we would normally see, 110.
Well, folks, what happens when we are not being told the truth? We are not being prepared. And John Casey, who is our wonderful scientist who works with us all the time, I happened to have a conversation with him. And notice, ladies, have you noticed how hard it seems that the meteorologists are trying so hard to create any type of hurricane event so that they could start reporting it coming to Florida? And guess what we have not seen? We have not seen any hurricane events in quite some time.
That's because the water isn't warm enough. If you know anything about hurricanes, you have to have warm weather, warm water mixing with cold, and those fronts hitting each other.
Yep. Yes, we do, and we have to have those fronts. Otherwise, you can't have the hurricane activity. So we don't have hurricanes in Florida. Now, that is not to say that we don't have them anymore, and that is not to say that we'll never have them again. It just says that we have to pay attention to the weather patterns, which change. We live on an Earth that is volatile. It changes constantly, and we will be having hurricanes. We will be having volcanoes, tornadoes, earthquakes, all of those wonderful things. Now, wouldn't you think it would be smart of us to care instead of trying to run around like Chicken Little and changing the gas in our SUVs and thinking that that's going to help? It's not going to make a bit of difference. Not at all. Not at all. I thought I lost everybody there, but I'm still good. I haven't.
It's only common sense, but sense isn't common.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. it's not an original. I can't remember who wrote it, but it's the truth.
That's a good sentence. I like that. And it is. That is very true. Very, very true. So, Victoria, what else can you... Victoria is wonderful at connecting the dots. That's what I love about her. And we have learned throughout the years that everything is connected. Not only is it connected, but it's being run by the same people. So what else can you share with us?
Well, I just, you know, my big concern right now is regionalism going on in our communities, which is what they do. And a lot of people don't understand what regionalism is. Regionalism comes straight from the Soviet Union. And it's about breaking down your voice, your local voice. You've got your cities and your counties that elect a county commissioner, a city commissioner. You have panels, you have boards, and you vote on things. And what's happening is they are trying to break down the election and the election of peoples in cities and counties and appointing them to a regional board. And the way I like to describe this when I speak on this is if you've lived in a homeowners association or a group, and the next thing you know, you've got a two-car garage and you're only allowed to park one car outside. both cars have to be inside or only one outside. And you're like, you know, it's a two-car garage, and I have two cars, and there's crap in the garage. Why can't I park out there? And you wonder, and you talk to your neighbors, who in the world voted on that you can only park one car in the driveway? Well, it was appointed by a board. When you really start getting down to it, a board decided it, not the members of the homeowners association. And that's what happens when you have a regional board, is people are appointed by a governor or a somebody, and you lose your voice. And this has already happened in North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia. They have made a 16-county area, which our friend Karen Bracken just won her seat in her election, and she's going to work very hard to expose and destroy this. And when I went to the Georgia Capitol and Georgia House and Senate to speak on Agenda 21, I had to point this out to them. They had no clue that, you know, like 8 counties of Georgia, 6 counties of Tennessee, and whatever the rest is, North Carolina had banded together to make a region. Do you think it's coincidence that they did it over 3 state lines? Absolutely not. And then what they would do is they would grow this region out and start dissolving your counties and your, municipalities, I can't talk this morning, cities and counties, and grow into a region where you're going to lose all ability to vote and have a local voice. And this is where we start losing our rights left and right. And it's very scary, very scary.
Well, I just got an email, anybody that signs up and gets on Adam Putnam's email list, and he is busy touting, well, right now he's upset with the EPA because they plan on, you know, readdressing and redefining water. But it's the same thing in Florida, whether it's EPA or whether it's the Water Management District. The municipalities don't have control over their water anymore. And that's the first step of a losing battle.
They stole water rights to companies like Nestle.
Yep. And we actually, in the county that I live in, I just had a conversation with one of the commissioners. And I said, how many springs, how many natural springs are in Washington County? And he said he knows of about 11. He said one of them is so big that 80,000 gallons of fresh water a day go straight into the Gulf. I said, okay, why aren't we doing something with that water? And he said, well, what do you mean? And I said, is that an abundance of water, or is that what we need? He goes, oh, no, we have an abundance of water now. I said, well, have you read the paper lately? Do you know that California is having a drought and that they're paying thousands of dollars for water? Wouldn't it be a smart idea for the county to come up with a plan that maybe we could use some of that water that's flowing right into the Gulf, not helping anybody, and ship it to California, maybe make some money, maybe help California, you know, on their crops. What do you think? And he said, well, that would be really good, Karen, except that we don't control the water anymore. The Water Management District does. Well, that's the first step, folks, of loss of control of humanity, because as Henry Kissinger said, he who controls the food and the water controls the people.
Yeah,
and
Henry Kissinger, German SSS soldier, evil man.
Evil, evil, evil. And everybody thinks he's so wonderful.
And he's right in the middle of our government.
Yep. Advisor. Advisor to everyone. Advisor. And
including Sarah Palin.
Yes, and he even went further. He said, "Though he who controls the oil controls the nation, he who controls the food controls the people." That was the exact quote. And water is right in there because you can't create the food if you don't have the water. So here they are in Florida running around talking about a water shortage problem. And I said, do we have a water shortage problem? Well, the answer is no. What Florida has is a water storage problem. But if we can't store our water and we have it, wouldn't we be smart to do something with it, like selling it, so others would, A, get an advantage of our water, and, B, we'd be able to actually get some money to help some of our devastated counties
Wouldn't that be a good thing to do? But no, we can't do that anymore because my county, Washington County, does not control their water. Water management controls the water. Well, folks, people are supposed to control the resources, and the people created water management. Well, the other thing he said was, well, we can't change that. And I said, really, why not? Have you forgotten Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution? Maybe you never read it. Have you forgotten the 10th Amendment? Maybe you never read it. But it is in our control. And our problem is that our legislators, and because they have come up, most of them, in our government school programs, have no idea anymore what our rights are. And that's a really, really scary thing.
If y'all don't know, there's a website called findaspring.com, findaspring.com. People have no idea how many natural springs, and if we go into a collapse, you'll want to know where these springs are, so I would make a mental note of that website. I put it in my phone, actually, underwater.
Oh, that's really good. I'm going to put that in my book right now, and I'm going to put that out in our newsletter, and that is findaspring.com.
Yep, findaspring.com.
Oh, that's good. I'm writing it down. I also asked them how much water we actually needed per person, and the answer was, I don't know.
And I said, oh, well, then you have not read Codex Alimentarius, because according to the UN, we are only allowed 50 liters a day. Folks, measure out what 50 liters is. You will be shocked at how much water you will not be able to have. And these are the rules and regulations that are being handed down to us from these unconstitutional agencies. But the good news is, and that's why we like to talk about this, in Iowa, they are going right after the EPA, as we all should be doing, and saying, no, you can't redefine a puddle as navigable water. You can't say you own that when it's on my property. You can't take it away from farmers and ranchers who need it for crops and cattle. You can't do that. And until we start pushing back, we're going to be on the losing end. So this is all about getting together with your friends and neighbors, learning what's affecting your community, and stopping it before it gets even bigger than what it already is. And believe me, it is the elephant in the room, and it is huge. And it is something that we have to take care of. And we have to be aware. And you know what the interesting thing was? The people that push back, many of them win. Many more win than don't win. And I think that's a really fabulous thing. So pushing back is extremely important. Don't think that your legislators know more than you. For the most part, they know less than you. I don't think there's any legislator in Florida State House that has as much knowledge as Victoria has. I don't think so. I haven't met one, especially any that can tie the dots, because they think that if they make something in one committee, it doesn't affect a different committee. Well, that's totally ridiculous. We all know that's wrong.
Well,
so now in Florida, since we have three people from Florida on, let's target Florida a minute, and let's talk about my favorite topic, which is Amendment 1.
Yes, which is no, no, no.
Yes. No,
big
no, no.
Big no.
Big no. Everybody.
You know what kills me is we're fending our own demise. I mean, that's what it is. They're asking for our tax dollars to put away 33% or whatever of it to the land, and they use our own damn money to buy the land to cut us off from so we can't be on the land. I mean, it's just so, it just drives me insane.
Well, it drives me insane also, and we don't have to look very far other than the groups that are supporting this. And every single one of those groups, Neil Rice, bless her, went through each of the websites of every group supporting Amendment 1, and I bet you won't be surprised to learn that each one of them is connected in some way, shape, or form to the United Nations.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of the United Nations, I'm about to expose something else. Grab a pen. Karen, you're going to have a fit on this.
Okay, let me get my pen. All right, A-less. I'm ready.
ALECexpose.org. Do you know about this, Alex?
Yep. Yes. Well, haven't spoken about it yet.
ALECexpose.org. This tells you exactly who the politicians are that are getting paid down to the Florida level. It's Rubio's in this, McCain's in this. I mean, it is a nightmare. This site is a wealth of information.
Okay, ALEC, A-L-E-C, exposed.
Yep.
That's what?
ALEC, yeah. And if you'll give me a minute, I'll try to remember. My brain's going dead on what it means.
Well, ALEC is the lobbying group.
It's a lobbying group, but it stands for something. Oh, here it is, American Legislative Exchange Council. Doesn't that just sound so blah?
Yeah, it sounds so warm and fuzzy.
It's very dangerous.
This is a group of lobbyists who write the bills. That's how the Affordable Care Act got written so quickly, all 2,100 pages of it. Imagine that overnight. Here it is. That's how the Florida legislature got the illegal immigrants in-state tuition and the ability to get law licenses. Thank you, ALEC. And guess who ALEC is funded by? I bet you can't guess.
Well, there's tons of people that fund it, but Soros and the Koch Foundation is in there.
Yes, and also taxpayer dollars. I have a question for the Florida legislature. I would like to know why the Florida legislature is using taxpayer dollars to fund any lobby group. Why? Why are we funding a special interest group who is only on the taking side? And by taking, it doesn't matter whether they are taking money, whether they are taking land, or whether they are taking resources. The minute they open their mouths, you know they're taking something. ALEC is a very dangerous group. They have offices all over the country. I know they have an office in Tallahassee. And when the legislative season starts, isn't it amazing how when the legislative season starts, all of a sudden there's 1,000 bills that have to be presented? Where are these bills coming from?
Well, here's a prime example. Tobacco firms such as Reynolds and pharmaceutical firms such as Bayer, once again, I hate that name, benefit directly from ALEC tort reform measures that make it harder for Americans to sue when injured by dangerous products. Now, isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice of them to do that?
Mm-hmm. It's just like they gave them complete blanket immunity against side effects and death. We're human guinea pigs.
We certainly are.
More ways than one.
We certainly are. The only way that this is going to come is to be exposed, and I'm so glad you found that website. And as soon as you get that over, we will get that out, and we will start talking about that.
Karen Bracken turned on to me on Facebook. I haven't sent out the email on it yet, but this thing is juicy, and it is good.
Well, this is one of the reasons, and there are many, but this is one of the reasons why we're in the trouble of debt that we are in, because these people think nothing of spending our dollars. They're not their dollars. They're our dollars on programs like this that will destroy our local government and deplete our resources and our budget, destroy our budget. How much did Governor Scott raise the budget? He raised it, I think, $7 billion and then turned around and took off $500 million so that he could go on the campaign trail and tell everybody how he reduced the budget. What a sweetheart. What a sweetheart he is.
Yeah. How disgusting. And this primary was the biggest farce, too. I mean, the two parties, they'd already decided it was going to be Chris and it was going to be Rick Scott. And I have told everybody, I am not voting for either one of them. I am voting for Adrian Wiley, and that's that. It's like, I wish people would be so stupid. Vote for these others. Just disgusting.
I'm voting for Adrian, and I'm voting for the guy for Attorney General against Pam Bondi as well.
And that is Bill Wulzifer.
Yep.
And he is a really good guy. And if the people, the sad part is everything is predicated on money. And in order for people like myself and Bill and Adrian to get any polling, you have to have hundreds, you have to have thousands upon thousands of dollars. Well, because we refuse to take money from the special interest groups, we don't have thousands upon thousands of dollars. So when it comes to debates and when it comes to polls, we're ignored. And that's being done on purpose so that we will be ignored. And that people like Governor Scott and Charlie Crist can come back and do some more destruction without the people being aware of what's going on. So take a look at Adrian. Take a look at Bill, two wonderful people who will really do good things for the state and are really being shut out, although we did get word that Adrian will be into debates. The question is, will they be televised or are they local? We don't know that yet. So we thank Adrian and we thank Bill for running, and they're making a tour around the state, and I hope that anybody that is in a place where they are will get the opportunity to go by and see them.
Got to vote for something different. I mean, people have got to break this addiction to these two stupid parties. It's just so disgusting. And, you know, excuse me, Fox News, while they put a lot of good stuff out there and better than some of the others, people have got to understand that they are on the hook with the GOP. I mean, they do whatever the GOP tells them to. And, I mean, having to listen to them do specials talk about how wonderful George H.W. Bush was and the Bush family, and they don't talk about any of the real history and garbage like that. It's like, it's just so disgusting. So Fox News put some good stuff out there, but you cannot just go and believe everything they say either. It's just, people, please wake up. Wake up. We need everybody to engage the brain. God gave you a brain. Would you use it and stop listening to the other garbage, the useful idiots routine we've talked about? Dear Lord, help us. We need it.
We sure do. Well, the thing that I'm really concerned about, other than our water, is our food.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
I read a very scary article today, and that was that the government is coming out with a new program sponsored by, drumroll if you please, the Gates Foundation. And they will be giving grants to farmers who have innovative farming techniques that they can use in a weather-changing pattern. You know what that means, folks?
Yeah, it's about time to pray for that son of a bitch's death. I am so sick of that guy.
I know.
I am sorry. But Mr. Branson needs to take Kissinger, Gates, the Obamas, the Bushes, the Cheneys, and the Rumsfeld, and put them on a plane and take them to Mars. I am so over this.
I agree with you. Every time he comes out with another grant for another program, it's, you know, that this is, the next step is going to be the takeover of that program. And that's what really bothers me, because we now are dwindling our farmers down to a place. I know in my district alone, when we were very successful, we had over 3,000 farmers. Today we have less than 300 farmers, and our food is being controlled by four companies, and that's a really scary situation, because I look at Venezuela and what's going on over there and how they have food shortages, and these are all contrived, folks. These are man-made food shortages, man-made water shortages, man-made fuel shortages. The only thing that's not man-made is weather, and that's what they're paying attention to. So while they're pushing us to look at the weather and telling us that by not buying that SUV, we're going to make a difference in the climate, they're stealing everything we own. And
no,
this
they are man-making the weather.
That's right. They are doing that. So now that we have Gates out in full force giving grants to farmers, that's a really scary thing. That's very scary. Because pretty soon what happens when a farmer takes a grant, well, let's say they were a peanut farmer and Bill gets up in the morning and he says, oh, I don't like peanuts. I think I want you to plant cotton. What is that farmer going to do? Peanut crop. Because the person with the purse strings gets to write the rules. And in Venezuela, you know how they're solving their food shortage, their food crisis? They're fingerprinting the customers, and they are matching them with what they purchase so that nobody can purchase too much. That's the answer to their food shortage problem. You sent over a very interesting article about the water shortage in California. Why don't you share that one with everybody? That was yesterday I read. The water, the drought that's going on in California that was created.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm sorry. Victoria,
I wasn't sure if you were talking to Victoria.
Yes, Victoria, I'm sorry.
I apologize. What I sent out was an article which got quite a bit of feedback, but, you know, it's like I tell people, I was like, you have no idea how they create weather. If you're not familiar with HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, or weather modification, or weather manifestation, all you got to do is go to Google and put in weather modification and HAARP. And what they do is, it was actually a tool founded, HAARP was, by a farmer to basically make the sky rain when they needed rain for drought. And the government came along when he found this and did this. In fact, I know about this because his son is out of Alaska. And his son has produced a movie about it called Angels This Heart Doesn't Sing, I think is it. And that's H-A-R-P. But his father sold the technology to the government thinking, oh, we're going to, you know, have food and rain and no more droughts. And what did the government do? They used it against to create it, because if it will create rain, it will create hurricanes, it will create tornadoes. Now, there are several of us, and I am in that group, that believe that Haiti was a HAARP testing ground because, you know, they think of Haiti as just, you know, a pit of the earth, so it didn't matter, and I think it was a HAARP test gone bad, because that's why you had all of a sudden four sitting presidents screaming about sending money to Haiti. I'm also not sure that the tsunami wasn't a HAARP-generated what I sent out that Karen is talking about is that there was rain coming, and they used instruments of HAARP to move the weather and the rain so that it didn't rain in California to prolong the drought, because the way you control people is through food. It's really simple.
Absolutely. And we know now, you may have a question mark, people, on HAARP, but you certainly have no question mark on chemtrails. And those you can see, they're visible. We can see them. Nobody, they're very secretive about that. And I spoke to a friend of mine who happens to be a pilot, and he said that anybody that carries those chemicals in their plane are under orders not to describe, not to discuss anything that they are doing. So that's why we can't find the information on it. But people, you know, what happens after an area is blanketed? Victoria, over in Jacksonville, we got reports all the last several months about the skies being filled with chemtrails. And now you're saying that the weather was much colder.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there could be a connection there. Let's not count it out. It could be a part of it. It could not be a part of it. But certainly putting something in the air that people are going to breathe, that people are going to eat, that animals are going to eat, that people are going to reproduce is not good. Anytime you add chemicals to something that's natural, it's not good. Natural is always best. We would be a lot better off if we learned to live with our weather and learned to understand it, learn how to deal with it, because we know eventually something is going to happen. It always does. Eventually there's going to be a hurricane. Eventually there's going to be a tornado. Eventually there's going to be an earthquake in some part of the world. Wouldn't we be better off learning how to deal with these responsibly instead of being surprised and then taking it as a tragedy every time it happens?
Yeah, they've been playing around with HAARP a long time. Remember those hurricanes that, not hurricanes, but tornadoes we had like over and over and over? It was like 23 tornadoes. Remember that?
Yes, that was a couple of years ago.
Correct. That was HAARP.
Okay. I could believe that. I could believe that. I definitely could believe that that could be part of that. But again, it's not unusual for tornadoes to happen in that area, but the frequency was the part that was unusual. But if we look now, every climate group, except the ones that talk to the government, are telling us the same thing. It's going to get cold. It's going to get cold. Even the Farmer's Almanac said that this year, this coming up year, is going to be unprecedented cold. So what are we being told? We're being told that you better not put any gas in your SUV, and you better not drive too far, and you better not use whatever it is, because every time something emits CO2, we're going to change the weather. It's not going to happen. First of all, it can't happen that way. It's a physical impossibility. CO2 has nothing to do with our weather, nor do people. And it's like taking, like I said, it's like taking a golf ball, Obama, and pitching it into the ocean and thinking it's going to affect the waves. I don't think so. Humans have absolutely no control over our weather. The only ones that control our weather is the sun, and the problem with that is the sun won't pay taxes. Somebody's got to pay. Not going to be the sun. So,
well, I thought they were going to try to figure a way to charge us taxes for rain and sunshine. Wasn't there something on that?
Well, they're trying to charge, what is it, a storm water tax for any time it rains. So when it rains, you will be taxed. And I think they tried that in, I know they're doing it in Oregon. I know they're doing it already in Oregon. I don't know. I know there was Polk County in Florida, and they said that the people voted it down. So I don't know if it's in Florida yet. But that's another thing to be aware of, folks. A stormwater runoff sea because it rains. Well, on one hand, you're being told you're not responsible for the rain, and on the other hand, you're being told you are responsible for the rain. So are we responsible or we're not responsible? If it's not ours, which we're told, that's not yours. You can't have that. You can't have that water. Well, then why am I paying for it if I can't have it?
Exactly.
So.
Like, come on, people. When are people going to wake up enough to do something and to stand up and say, you know, enough is enough? And the thing with the bacon in Vermont is, it's like, if that's what the mentality of the average American is, I'm not going to say bacon because it offends somebody. Then we're doomed.
I know. It is very sad to realize how far down we have come on the ladder of success. And in my latter years, I never expected to be at this moment in my life. We all expected to be somewhere retired, sitting on the Florida beaches, having a wonderful time, and that's not happening. And I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, unless, as you say, we wake up, which is a big problem.
Yeah.
And And so, ladies, we are at the bottom of the hour. Victoria, it has been wonderful talking to you. Please, again, tell everybody where they can find you and how they can get a hold of you. And, folks, send Victoria an email and get on her mailing list. You will get a wealth of information. So where can they do that?
Victoria Lady Liberty at Reagan, Reagan.com. Victoria Lady Liberty at Reagan.com.
And when Victoria sends you information, everybody, put it in a folder and save it. Because the thing that I learned about that is that 2 or 3 years later, you can go back and look at that same information, and guess what?
It'll make a lot more sense.
It makes a lot more sense. And that's part of the problem that we have, because our media, our schools, and Hollywood are guiding us down the wrong path. And they're doing that on purpose so that we won't pay attention. And Sally, unfortunately, you're right, people are not. And I think nothing is more evident than what's going on in the voting right now is that everybody is reporting how light voting was. That's not good. That's not good.
And the thing, again, when it gets me with these primaries, excuse me, I mean, I know how bad it is right here in Orange County. I don't think it's anything different than any place else, is they act like people are not supposed to vote in a primary, yet they go and stick referendums, and they have many nonpartisan races. So it doesn't matter whether you're on a party or not. You need to get out there and vote. Even if you don't like Charlie Crist or Rick Scott or whatever else. Now, in Orange County, there's two items on the referendum, and plus a bunch of judgeships and a school board member in my case. But, you know, what about in your county? Do they have referendums on these things? It's like, it doesn't matter whether you vote for any of the idiots. At least vote on the referendums and let your voice be heard. But the supervisor elections here in Orange County never goes out there and says, yes, you're supposed to vote. It doesn't matter about your party affiliation. You need to vote. Even if you don't like Rick Scott, you need to vote. they don't explain that to people. Most people just have no idea what the primary zone is.
You're right. Do they do that in where you are, Victoria?
No, nobody knows about the primary. And what I've got to tell people, if you're ever in doubt about a candidate, all you got to do is see if the Chamber of Commerce sponsors them. If they do, run, Forrest, run.
That is a good point. That is a really, really good point. And you're right. And now I am going to have to go and find out who is the winner of the primary in my district, because the winner of that primary will face me, or I will face them, in the general election. And I believe that if Brad Drake, the man, wins, he has been endorsed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And that is a bad one. You are right. That is one of the worst. So this is going to be a very interesting next 60 days, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of mud flying around the state of Florida.
I got to ask you a couple questions. Who do you think is going to get the nomination for a governor from the Republican Party and the Democrat Party? Any ideas?
Oh, you think it might be, what's their names? Charlie and Rick, maybe?
It's going to be so close, you know?
The clone and clone. They're. I don't see any difference. Somebody said to me, you know, about the two of them, and I said, please tell me what the difference between the two of them are. I can't find it. I don't see any difference.
They're not.
And they're both evil. And we have to get off the spot that the, you know, I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils. Well, the lesser of two evils is still evil.
Well, and the other part is, how can anybody tell me, gosh, you know, these Republican loyalists, whatever you want to call them, the Republican establishment, excuse me, they go out there and say, well, we can't vote for Chris. I mean, God, I said, well, wait a minute, didn't you vote for him a couple years ago? Weren't you in love with this guy then? And you like Scott better than him? There is no difference. But I just love the way the the GOP is all against Crist all of a sudden, even though I was right here at the Orange County Republican Executive Committee. At that time I was in it. I'm not in any of that mess anymore, where you had Mel Martinez, Crooked Karate, John McCain, and Charlie Crist all just jumping up and down and having a big old party and how wonderful they all were. But all of a sudden now, Charlie Crist, no, we don't like him anymore. It's like, you people are so, I mean, either you're extremely stupid or you're extremely superficial, or you truly are just a bunch of sheep following whatever that GOP establishment tells you. It's pathetic, people. It's pathetic.
Or it's all of the above. I think all of the above fits better.
Yeah.
I don't think people are either capable of paying attention to many or not. But yet, when I go around and I talk to the people, I'm getting something totally different. So again, I think it's the talking heads who are trying to put in, you know, guide the election to the way they want. And I believe that that's what's happening. This is exactly what's going on. So,
well, I'm out here at the Florida Election Watch site.
Okay.
Yeah, District 5 is not looking real good for Jan Hooks.
And I am
right
at
now,
Jan Hooks' party at her victory party, and unfortunately, from what you're saying, I guess it's not going to be a victory.
At this point right now, I don't know what percent's reporting, but what they're showing right now, it's 72 for Brad and 27, 28 for her.
Well, let's put it in perspective. Brad had $350,000, and Jan had less than $100,000, so he quite outspent her quite a bit. And the race with Karen is going to be very interesting because Brad has $350,000 and Karen has $5,000. So Karen is being totally discounted because Karen doesn't have the money. The difference with Karen is that Karen is not taking any money. I'm not flying down to Miami to get money from special interest groups. I'm not going to the Chamber of Commerce or Walmart or Disney or any of those other places to get money from special interest groups. My money is coming in from the people, and that's the way I want it. And people all over the state have been sending money, and that's been wonderful. So we're doing what we're going to do, and we're going to go out and continue to talk to the people, because this is an election, I believe, for the people. And if the people want a difference in District 5, they'll vote for me. And if they like things the way they are, they'll vote for him. We'll see what happens. The rest should be quite interesting. And so,
yep.
Ladies.
And, yep. Well, I was just going to say, the other thing is, you know, the FCC 99-390, I think it is it. Better double-check my number on that. But the media is supposed to report for the public interest, for the public good. And there's so a major violation when they go and pick who is the who they should be covering in an election. It's totally against the FCC rules for serving the public interest, serving the public good. It's a violation, and people need to realize that, too. We should not let the media control the elections either.
Anyhow, it has been lovely. We are going to have to cut a little bit short today. I cannot find Jan, so I guess she is reading the election results, and I'm over at her party. So today is going to be a short day rather than no day at all. I didn't want to cancel. And I'm so glad that you were able to join me, join us, Victoria. It is always a pleasure to speak to you. You are always such a wealth of information. And we appreciate, I appreciate everything you're doing because you make my life a lot easier by doing all the wonderful research you're doing. So I greatly appreciate it, and I love getting your emails. And I recommend that to everybody. Please get involved. There's only one way to get involved, and that's to get involved. You can't talk about getting involved without being involved, folks. It doesn't work. It does
Amen.
Not work. On that note, we're going to say good night, and I thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. And I guess we'll have to go and I can't find Jan. I wanted to interview her. I'm looking for her. And I don't see her, so unfortunately, I guess we will miss that interview. I guess she read the election results. So, ladies and gentlemen, it has been wonderful.
Well, hopefully maybe we can get Jan on next week. Maybe she can come on and tell us what it was like to run and also to
That's what I wanted her. You know, she said, well, what if I don't win? And I said, people want to know what it was like to run for office. People want to hear your story because it was such a good story. Well, I'm going to look in one more place and see if I can find her.
Yeah, it would be great to talk to her. She needs to talk about what it's like out there, too. It's the people who are the true patriots. We need them.
Yes.
And
yes.
We got to bring
okay,
them together
her.
With the others. Yeah. Yeah, so I hope you can find her because it would be great to have her talk if she's not too busy with everything else.
Okay, I found Jan. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited. This is absolutely wonderful. And can you, let's see if we can use that or if you keep calling. Okay? No, just talk. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy to have with me, this is Jan Hooks, and Jan Hooks was running for office. And unfortunately, this was her first time, and she did a great job, and she gave a great message. And that's what this is about, folks, grassroots people running for grassroots positions. Jan bucked the establishment, and she was wonderful. Jan, thank you so much for joining me this evening. And people want to know what it was like to go out and actually put yourself out there.
Hi, Karen. It was humbling. It was an experience I will never, ever give up, and I have met so many wonderful, beautiful people, and it was, to me, the most unbelievable race. It was clean. It was good. It was an amazing journey that I believe God put me on, and I was more than willing to serve the people. I wanted to be there to serve the people, to speak for your voice, and I can't express enough what an amazing journey this has been to have talked to so many people, knocking on the door, shaking their hands, and telling them that I would love to serve them and speak for their voice and let their voice be heard in Tallahassee.
Well, Jan is a tribute and a true American and a real patriot, and I'm so glad, and you know something? We became friends, and that was worthwhile. So I always said if Jan won, I would never feel bad about losing because Jan is an upstanding person. And that's what we need, folks. We need honesty back in our elections. We need honesty back in our legislature. And we need honesty back in our government. And we're not going to get it unless we, the people, make changes. And Jan, I hope you run again. I know you don't. I know. Don't think about it now. Don't even go there because you're probably exhausted. But plant the seed. Because this race can't be over if good people give up.
No, good people, no, and Karen, that is so true. I don't want to give up. I'll be there. If God calls me to do this, I will be there again. One day, we're going to all stand up, and one day, the government is going to be out of our lives to the point where we are the people, we will have them answer to us. That's my goal. So God bless everybody. Thank you so much for the journey that I experienced, and it has been a pleasure to meet Karen. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you, everybody.
Excellent.
Okay. So you heard it from the campaign headquarters of Jan Hooks, and it is quite a journey. And it's not a journey for everybody, but you know what, folks? If it's not your journey, help somebody whose journey it is. That's real important. We have to help each other, and we're not going to do it if we don't stand strong and we don't stand up and we don't work from the inside as well as the outside. We can't do everything by being an observer. You've got to get in. You've got to get your feet wet. It's got to happen that way or it's not going to happen at all.
That's right. That first time running for office is just a totally different And it's like she said, you know, it's you meet so many good people, and you realize we have so many good people out there who just need to understand it's their job, too, to get involved. If all the good people stand up, we've got it made. The good people, you know, evil will flourish while good people do nothing. We've got to get these people to lock arms and come together and be united as we used to be. And we can take it. We can save this country, but it's not going to happen unless that happens. It really isn't so.
You're right. And we have in Florida some really super people that are in strategic certain races. We'll have to see the shakeout. Is Victoria still on the line?
Yep.
Are you in Derek Hankerson's district?
No, that's St. John. He's running against Thrasher, and I really hope, if he wins, that will be the most unbelievable victory.
Okay, and he was primary tonight, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so that should be quite interesting. Actually, it's quite a very unique slate. And didn't Thrasher take another job?
I don't know.
I think he took a job at a university. I am not 100% sure on that. But I thought I read someplace that he took another job, which would be interesting. And we have Tony Tasso down in Pinellas County, and he's running against Jack Rotvala. Now, this is a very interesting race. Tony is like Karen. He's got about $8,000 or $9,000 in his war chest. And Jack Rotvala has $2 million.
You know, you have to look at where in the heck are they getting this money.
Yep. Yes. Why on earth?
And why would you spend $2 million for a job that pays what?
less than $30,000 a year.
Somebody better wake up to that.
Well, that's the sad part, and that's where the sheeple don't understand. Because $2 million did not come from getting $5 and $10 from the people. $2 million came because, just as you just said, Victoria, he is massively supported by the Florida and U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And he has done just about every crooked thing that you could possibly imagine. And now his son is running for office, too, so we'll never get rid of the lock dollars. Unless the people are smart enough to get rid of them.
You can do what I do and ask the Lord for a big, big flood. I find myself doing that more every day.
Might be a good idea. Maybe we need the oceans to rise and wipe out southern Florida. I didn't say that. And so, folks, we are going to come to a close this evening. Victoria, it is wonderful speaking with you. And Sally, as always, it is wonderful speaking with you as well. Folks, you are listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman, every Tuesday night from 8 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Please visit our websites, agenda21today.com, panhandlepatriots.com, KarenShone.com, and VoteKarenShone.com. There's plenty of information on all of those websites to make you armed and dangerous, and that means armed and dangerous to be able to speak for your rights and freedoms, because that's what we are about, protecting our rights and freedoms, educating, conversation, and action. That's what we believe. Thank you all for joining me this week, and we will see you again next week. I am sorry to be cutting a little bit short today, but I must go inside and say hi to everyone. And I wish you could all be here, and I wish it was for a happier occasion, because it looks like it's not going to be a victory party. But there's always another year. So thank you all for listening. God bless you all, and God bless America. Good night, Sally.
Thank you, Sally.
Good night, Victoria.
Good night.
Thank you, ladies.